I'd like now to welcome Marcela Diaz. She is the director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido, an immigrants rights organization based right here in New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about some of the things we're supporting during the legislative session.
Well, the legislative session is in its, I guess, fifth week now. And what are you working on?
Well, Somos Un Pueblo Unido is working alongside various unions and faith groups in New Mexico to pass, a package of bills that we are calling anti-wage theft bills so that we can protect workers from employers who steal their wages from them. And this is actually something that is very pervasive throughout our country, and New Mexico certainly isn't an exception.
What are some of the circumstances under which that happens?
Well, it's estimated at the federal level that companies steal between about $19 billion in overtime from American workers, and that between 2 and 3 million workers are paid under the minimum wage. And so it can be that an employer just doesn't pay for work that has been done for them. And it can also be that they misclassify employees and aren't giving them the overtime that they're due under the law. And unfortunately, New Mexico has some of the weakest laws in the country in wage protection for workers. And so we're trying to strengthen the bill and create some fixes so that workers have more protections when they go to the Department of Workforce Solutions, formerly known as the Department of Labor, to file wage claims, and so that it's easier for them to actually recuperate the wages that have been stolen from them for work already done.
Does this tend to happen in the large corporate setting, for example, fast food? I've heard stories of this in fast food chains and big box stores and things like that. Or is it more on the level of small business?
I think it happens in both, at the national level and certainly at the state level. At Somos Un Pueblo Unido, we have hundreds of workers coming in every year just basically saying, my employer hasn't paid me. I think I should be paid overtime, and I'm not getting paid overtime, and my employer says that he doesn't have to pay me because I'm undocumented, or because he's going to keep, he won't pay me until I give him a good Social Security number, all of which is against the law. It is against the law. And this, of course, doesn't just affect immigrant workers. It affects workers across the board. Now, immigrants, obviously, are particularly vulnerable, particularly if they're in mixed status situations. We always tell workers, you have the right, no matter what your status is, to work, to get paid what you were promised for work that you've already done. But unfortunately, because our laws are so weak and there are no protections against retaliation, for instance, many people don't actually go through the process of trying to recuperate legally money that is due to them.
I would think that there would be kind of a culture of fear that if they do try to do something, if they do try to retaliate along the channels, they'll be deported or they'll be sent back to their countries.
Well, that is certainly one of the fears for both documented and undocumented immigrant workers. But oftentimes, the biggest fear really is that they're afraid that they will lose their jobs. They're afraid that they'll be docked hours. They're afraid that they will no longer be given overtime. Those are some of the reasons why this is one of the more underreported crimes in the state and in the country. But many times workers don't even know that they are due overtime. Recently, we sent a worker to a local labor attorney because he was owed about $2,000 for his last two paychecks, and the attorney helped him figure out that he was actually, in addition to those $2,000 in the last two paychecks that his employer just didn't want to pay him, and refused to pay him, that he was due about 2 years of overtime.
Oh,
and that's
goodness.
One of the problems is that it's really those kinds of laws can be very complicated, and so the average worker might not know what they actually are being owed. There are also uncooperative employers. Sometimes when an employee actually goes to the Department of Workforce Solutions Wage and Hour Bureau to file a claim, employers just ignore them. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do with this law is to create more protections for the worker, certainly against retaliation, because that's not the case right now. But also we're trying to give the Department of Workforce Solutions more enforcement power, particularly when it comes to civil penalties and fines when employers are just uncooperative and ignore the investigations. you know, I think it would be surprising for some of your listeners to learn that Arizona has much better laws when it comes to protecting workers against wage theft than New Mexico. And so that was something that we looked at when we were trying to figure out what was inadequate in our law and what was weak. So that's basically what we're trying to do, is strengthen the law, stronger protections for workers, and certainly create more disincentives for employers.
What's going on with the employers? Are there corporate policies that say exploit the lowest wage workers? Are they written down? Is it the discretion of each manager? What's going on?
Well, certainly in some of those big box stores that you were talking about, I won't name names, but there is certainly a culture of, you know, higher profitability, and that I think is a lot of pressure on managers to make sure that they're putting out as little money as possible and making sure that people aren't given overtime. Or what we see in both big box stores and small businesses is that people might be working overtime one week, but their employer shifts their hours to another week so that they don't have to pay overtime. And so it's something that I think is widespread in both small and big businesses. And there's a lot of pressure, I think, for some of the mid-level managers to skim as much as they possibly can and to keep that kind of output as low as possible. But I do want to say, Mary Charlotte, that this is the minority. I mean, obviously, there across the board, there is not enough protections against wage theft. But this really, in addition to hurting the workers, particularly during these tough financial and economic times, it really hurts the local economy, because that's, you know, money that's not going into our local economy because it's not getting to the workers. And it hurts the honest businesses. And let's face it, the majority of businesses don't steal from their employees. But for those that do and that continue to do it, it's obviously giving them an unfair advantage over the businesses that actually do pay what they promise to pay.
And as we've discussed with Linda Siegel, it's always the minority for whom we have to write the laws in the first place.
That's correct. That's correct. And so that's exactly what we're trying to do with this set of bills. So Representative Miguel Garcia, who's from Bernalillo, who's always been very supportive of workers and workers' rights, along with Representative Al Park, who's also from Bernalillo, are sponsoring these two bills. Which, again, we're calling the anti-wage theft bills. And basically, it would, you know, help prevent, between the two bills, they would help prevent retaliation. They would extend the statute of limitation for wage claims, because currently under our state law, if you have if your wages have been stolen, particularly overtime wages, for 2, 3, 4 years, you would only be able to, under the current law, state law, recuperate 1 year. one year's worth of your unpaid wages, and that's not fair. So we're trying to extend the statute of limitations through these bills, trying to penalize the bad employers. Most states fine employers who willfully steal wages from their workers triple. They fine them triple damages, and we only fine them double damages. And so those are some of the examples of what we're trying to do to strengthen the law and create stronger disincentives for the bad apples.
It's interesting. When I listen to you, I think that there are probably a lot of companies that really don't want comprehensive immigration reform, because employees who are scared, who are not documented, who basically are in all sorts of legal and financial limbo, are easier to manipulate and to underpay and so on.
That's right. And when we have state laws like this that doesn't provide protection against retaliation when a worker files a wage claim, that doesn't just affect that worker, obviously, who might be undocumented and who might be retaliated against by the threat of, you know, not calling immigration or getting deported or losing their job. That affects all workers in the workplace. And so I think it's really important that the community at large understand that, you know, Somos un Pueblo Unido, along with our allies, is really doing a lot of work to push this forward, and it's really important for our members who are immigrant to show other workers that, you know, this is about all of us, that we're all in this together. This affects all workers in our workplaces here in the United States, and so if we can create stronger laws to prevent retaliation against immigrant workers, against all workers, that's going to be better, obviously, for everyone. And so that's one of the reasons why our membership and our board was so enthusiastic about really pushing this bill forward.
Marcela Diaz is the executive director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido, which can be found on the web at, somosunpueblounido.org.
That's correct, and we have fact sheets about these two bills that are being sponsored by Al Park and Miguel Garcia, both from Bernalillo, and we really encourage people to learn more about it. And there's a great book called Wage Theft in America by an author named Kim Bobo, and she really outlines how this is affecting our economy and workers and working standards really across the country. And again, it's just important for folks to know that there's a lot that we can do at the local level to discourage this.
Marcela, thanks so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
I really appreciate it. Thanks.
We're going to take a little break right now, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Congressman Ben Ray Lujan. Please stay tuned to KSFR.